Do you think it would be fair to call like my sense of humor alternative friendliness?
That's it. You did it.
Oh man. Yes, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Welcome. 1001. An album odyssey. Each week, us four friends bring you five albums from the book 1001 Albums You Should Hear Before You Die. Not you should hear, you must hear. It seems like I screw that up every single week. But I just want to remind everybody that we don't choose these albums. They're sent to us randomly, unlike some other podcasts where they curate some things, they pick the best. No, we bring it all to you. We have an opinion about everything. And here it is this week. What you're going to hear us have an opinion about is Fela Kuti's with Ginger Baker's live album, Miles Davis in a Silent Way, Commons B, Stephen Stills, another album from Stephen Stills, Manassas, and last but not least, Janelle Monáe, Arc Android. Let's get into it, boys. Time's a-wastin'. Some people are late.
Well, some people were on time. Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti.
Yeah, coming out strong, man. We are hitting the ground running, as the expression says, with this album. I mean, I know for me, man, Monday morning, a little sleepy, a little groggy from the weekend, coming on the way to work, hitting the track. Man, I was the track, the musical track, not the racetrack, in case you were wondering.
But man, coming in. He's going the distance.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Right out of the gate, I was super impressed. And I can tell you right now, without knowing the scores, this one is going to be the top album of the week for sure. So I feel honored to be able to do this one. First of all, the cover art. We got to talk about the cover art. Pretty crazy party going on here. Whatever's happening inside this studio. Ginger Baker right there on the right-hand side. Got a cigarette going.
I like his shirt.
Yeah, it just looks cool. You got the Africa 70, it looks like, in the background. Pretty freaking cool. The band, mm-hmm. Not the country.
Mm-hmm. The country Africa, yes.
Well known.
Alternative fact.
Alternative fact. What was his band after Africa 70?
Could not tell you. Something we're here 80. To talk about Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti.
Egypt 80. Fela Kuti. It really was.
I'm sure you've done your research. I, on the other hand, did not look past this album. I was very, very impressed with this album. Again, as I said, right out of the gate. Now, it's only, four or five songs? Each song, of course, over 10 minutes in length. But, man, this album coming out of 1971. Recorded.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Recorded, of course, with Ginger Baker, as famously known from Cream, on the drums, along with Tony Allen, who I did not know before this album, before I listened to this album. Recorded, if you care, and Ryan, I know you do, at the Abbey Road Studio 3,
nice.
With a live audience of about 150 people. What I read, which I thought was kind of cool, is the studio had to redesign the mic layout, and they were really struggling to get everything mic'd up, especially with that gigantic horn section that they have. Let's give that first track right out of the gate. It's called Let's Start. So I think that's a good starting point. Come on. Am I right?
You are right.
I was waiting. I was like, please play something.
Abbey Road, right? Abbey Roads, that's what you said, was where they recorded it?
Yeah, I recorded at Abbey Road Studio 3.
Yeah, because they had like a big room. Man, that sounds good. That makes sense why it sounds so good. In 71, too. That was later. So they were definitely on some good equipment. That's bitching.
Was really, again, coming out of the gate strong. And that's what I was hit with on Monday morning on my way to work. It just really... really was impressive, and the whole song is like that. The whole album is like this, frankly. Those heavy horns, that just crazy impactful horn section, heavy percussion, so along with really notable bass. I mean, just really, really strong album all the way around. Like I said, those tracks over 10 minutes each. Really pretty cool, little highlight from the album, which was because Ginger Baker's influence on the album, it really helped bring this Afro kind of sound into the mainstream, making it a little bit more, giving it a little bit more international attention. So I thought that was pretty cool. Then up next, let's give another track a try here and Let Me Stop Talking.
My head is bobbing.
I tell you what, I was just dancing too, man.
So good. Well, and a fun fact too might contribute to the big sound, and I don't know how exactly they recorded it, but part of it was recorded up in Jordan's neck of the woods at the Berklee Community Theater.
Did not know
apparently,
that.
Before they moved into the studio for some of the stuff. But that is a theater at a high school. It's now a historic landmark.
Well, that's cool.
Well, I wonder if they recorded that with minimal. Well, in 71, I bet you they were able to do all sorts of cool stuff with that.
Well, that song was called Black Man's Cry. Let's give another short little clip off of this song here from the middle of the song.
Mike's favorite instrument, the saxophone.
Yep, that's right. Now,
yeah, but the jamming with it. That makes all the difference.
Yeah.
It's a voice.
Now, guys, if you believe the internet, a Black Man's Cry, which is what we just listened to, is a statement of African identity and post-colonial pride. Blah 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 is what I say.
Whoa,
I don't.
Jeez.
I don't. Oh, wow. I don't know about all that.
Direct all hate mail to Jacob.
I'm just saying. Hey, it sounds fancy. That's all I'm trying to say. It sounds fancy, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the culture.
You just did.
You can pick what you read.
He was a little bit of a political activist. So
okay, that's true. But just trying to call attention to the fact that I think it's a little bit wordy, and I would add, I don't really know about any of that statement. What I do know is that song fucking rocks. Really coming out strong. Of course, we have the next song on the list, Yee Yee De Smell. That's what it's called, Yee Yee De Smell.
With that Wurlitzer or whatever that is, or Rhodes or
Whirly
something
Bird.
Like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's there's supposed to be some kind of and in the beginning of the track, I don't know if you guys remember, but he does, Fela Kuti does talk about the meaning of the title, basically like bullshit stinks, you know, trying to have this blunt metaphor. He says that he wrote the song for Ginger Baker, so don't know what that's about. But
well, Ginger Baker was a bit of an asshole from all accounts, apparently.
Yeah, I read the same.
What was that documentary you recommended, Jordan?
Was it Hellraiser or was it something else? I'm trying to remember. There's I have to look it up.
Something about Ginger.
Yeah. Well, I'll get back to you on that one.
Thank you.
Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah. Jake doesn't like being interrupted. It just throws him off.
My bad.
Don't throw me off. That's what happens when you're late.
I mean, I didn't just
It'll be
in silence. So that's something.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, beware of Mr. Baker.
Beware of Mr. Baker. Oh,
that's what it is.
Yeah. See? It's good.
Oh, it has nothing to do with ginger. I said so much.
Well, like, you know, Neil Peart credits Ginger Baker and Bonham and, who's the other guy?
Keith Moon.
Keith Moon, yeah, as his influences. So it's cool to, you know, get a little taste of that.
Yeah. Well, then of last, there's no way we cannot listen to a small little tidbit of the Ginger Baker Tony Allen drum solo. And frankly, what is not to love here? Now, 16 minutes. So. So sit down. If you like percussion, take some Advil, crank up the music. Man, you're gonna be in for a treat on that 16-minute drum solo. Really, really making it hard to try and choose a really cool 15-second clip out of that 16-minute jam. Really, really impressive. And that's a cool thing about this album. The songs sound very familiar. The songs sound very similar to one another, but also they just jam. I mean, they just are how you can just feel the love coming out of that room almost. It's just really, really powerful album. So are you ready for some fun facts?
Fun facts.
Well, here we go. Fun fact number one, Ginger Baker moved to Nigeria after this collaboration and even built a recording studio.
Oh, really?
Did he move into Fela Kuti's compound / commune?
Calcutta Republic?
Yeah.
There we go.
Did he do it?
That was the question.
Oh, I don't know.
I was setting you up.
Oh, sorry.
Well, he dropped the ball.
Probably because, yeah, he was independent of Nigeria. He started his compound so he could have his, how many wives? I don't know.
Well, he eventually married 27 wives all at one time in 1978. Claiming that because the government had burnt down his compound the year before, that they were at risk of becoming destitute because the recording studio was gone and they were all backup singers. Yeah. So they had no work. So he had to marry them by local tradition to prevent them from being destitute. So he married 27 women at once.
Just doing his part, Mike.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And he consummated every one of those marriages.
Oh, I imagine so. I
mean, according to the internet,
yeah,
according
right. to Jake, the alternative facts.
I imagine so. I mean, but yeah, who doesn't want to have a compound? I know I do.
Well, that, my friends, was Fela Kuti with Ginger Baker and Tony Allen
and
the Africa 70.
What do you give it?
Yeah, I give this one 5 stars. Like, there's no way you cannot give this one 5 stars.
Yeah. Give 5 stars.
That means like 8 for
Do you have a pulse? People. Are you breathing? You're going to love this album.
Yeah, it's one of the better albums I've ever, you know, experienced. 5 for me, too.
Wow, 5 from Ryan.
Same. 5, easy. I was introduced, my favorite band, Fish, plays music during set break, and this is one of their go-tos.
Really?
Not this particular album, but they play a lot of Fela Kuti.
And just to, you know, wrap things up here, Ginger Baker did not live in the compound, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. But he did have 27 wives.
No, not Ginger Baker, Fela Kuti did. Ginger Baker had like 23.
That was Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
Right.
And the rest.
Yeah, and so for me, you know, it's just that was all right. It was like a 3-star, I think.
Come on.
No, it's 5. This is awesome.
There we go. There we go.
After you were done with your edits,
I cut this. And that drum solo track, by the way, was from the Berlin Jazz Festival in 1978. So that was not recorded at the same time. And that was a live performance with those. So
good
stuff. And it's a bonus track on the CD version.
Yeah. What about the record? Was it not on?
It wouldn't have been on the record.
Okay.
No.
So
If you buy the record, you're going to get the first 4 tracks. And then if you buy the CD, a lot of them might have that bonus track on it.
I read that bonus track was added later in 1978 on red vinyl.
On red vinyl. I see.
So you could buy a different vinyl version with it. Yes.
Cool.
Well, there we go. Up next, Miles Davis.
Me with Miles Davis. 2-song album, 1 song for each side. Let's play. Let's see. I think I did list a track.
You did.
Of the two.
First track. Which one? Let's just get a little mood set here. I mean, coming out in 1969, right before probably an album that Davis is a little more famous for is Bitches Brew, but also heavily edited. The fee that the studio could be an instrument too. So I thought that was interesting. And yeah, like a lot of different, I think we had another Miles Davis album that was pretty, as Jordan described, cacophonous. A little bit out there, and I don't know, I still could appreciate it, but this was a little bit more digestible to somebody that's not super into jazz and that super jammy sound. There was a lot of kind of repeated different movements that happened, and really kind of a moody album. In fact, I would love Ryan to share the story that he shared over text, because I think that kind of captures the mood of this.
What's interesting is listening to it again, it immediately puts me back there, and that's kind of rare anymore to get a song that, I don't know if it's rare, but it doesn't seem to happen as often. But I was driving my kid into school into the sun, and the sprinklers were on in a field. It was kind of driving up a hill, and that was going, and it was all mist. And it was this beautiful, like, serene, like rainbows everywhere kind of thing. And it was, I don't know, just I felt entirely calm. I was very, it was very smooth. And so it was just like a perfect moment. It was a perfect moment. And it continued for a long time. And it just, it's interesting that it puts you in that place.
It was totally. Well,
then, I always remember.
The track's name is Peaceful. And yeah, I mean, I just appreciated how kind of reserved he was as far as his trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
He really took a back seat and let the other instruments shine through.
And what's kind of interesting too is that there were so many instruments and so much was going on, but everything just really flows together, and it kind of seemed like a really natural fit and created the, you know, beautiful atmospheric quality that, you know, Ryan was experiencing with the sprinklers. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, I love this album.
Yeah, I mean, it really does evoke a lot of emotions. I mean, three pianos, right? There was three pianos. Yeah,
Herbie Hancock on one of them.
Yeah, some superstars.
Wayne Shorter and Chick Corea, I think, was another pianist.
Totally, yeah. And it's just like, okay, like, that's cool. And that's what I love about jazz, is that it's all about give and take. It's about taking turns. It's about listening to other people. I thought it was interesting that it was heavily edited, because that's definitely not a hallmark of jazz.
But yeah, that became something like with jazz fusion, I think, because this is considered like the first true jazz fusion album, which he followed with Bitches Brew later. And that was a lot of editing in that one too, because it was just a lot of jamming. And then they just sort of put pieces together and, you know, fit things together. So the studio was another instrument in that one.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and that freed him up for the improvisation, because this album had very little like notes apparently, and it was just a lot of improv, and they were able to just kind of jam out and do whatever, and then kind of turn it back into something cohesive in the studio.
Yeah, but just beautiful. I mean, it just let's play the other track before I ramble. Comes in. Yes, I picked the saxophone. but again, just the fact that he, you know, it's his album, and you don't hear any trumpet in that clip. So beautiful stuff. I gave this one a 5.2. It was just like, and we were talking about it on the chat, like, it's just, it was a really strong start to the week.
Yeah, those first two albums, so good.
What about you, Jordan?
Oh, 5 all the way on this one too. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so far my favorite Miles Davis album.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
I third that emotion. Five.
Last but not least,
you know, Jake's too
tough guy. One.
I think I gave it a four. But I really liked it. It was a good album. Good album.
Coming from you, that's huge.
Yeah, four is a pretty big compliment for me.
For sure.
That's what she said.
Let's move on, and you know, just like again, these things are randomly thrown at us. So you know, pretty different selection for Wednesday, which is the hip hop album from Common.
Well, different, but the same in some ways. You know, it has
thanks Sesame Street.
Yeah, exactly. actually thought it was, well, you know, this is Chicago. Common, I love his movies. Him appearing in TV shows and movies is always a treat. He's a pretty good rapper too.
Got a nice voice.
He does have a nice voice. He seems like a cool dude. He's a vegan and is into the animal rights.
Do you remember seeing him at Coachella? Like, it was, what year was that? 2006.
Is that with Misha?
I might have been, but I remember we watched for just a little bit and we kind of got bored and walked away. Or was that remember. Kanye West? Because Kanye West was there too, and I know we definitely walked away from Kanye West.
Well, the two of them were on. it wasn't because it was just
boring. I saw Common later with Stevie Wonder, and it was awesome. You know, I like
really,
Common. Yeah. Well, he played a song with him. It was at Stevie Wonder does these big Christmas benefit things, and he has a bunch of guest stars. Gotcha. Tony Bennett was another one. Dave Matthews.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, and what I got out of this album was that, you know, he you know, Chicago, and actually reminded me a tiny bit of, you know, now that we've gone to Chicago and checked that out, Jordan and I did, with the wives and the kids and stuff, and, well, my end, and it was a lot of fun. That was really cool. Chicago has an interesting feel to it, mm-hmm. just in general. Have you guys been to Chicago?
No. Once. I like the Bean.
Oh, you went to the Bean. Yeah. Well, that was actually the second time for Jordan and I, because we stopped at a cop bar on our way to Cornell.
We just saw a very limited aspect of Chicago during that trip.
Broken cop cars and the Chicago Tower.
What's the name of that? The Sears Tower.
Sears Tower, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, funny digression. I was telling Ryan all about the Sears Tower being the tallest building in the United States, and, you know, we might have had a couple, but we were outside. It was foggy, and I just brought Ryan to this building, and I said, look up. And we were both marveling at how tall this building was. And then I look over and I'm like, wait, that building's way taller. Like, oops, it's over there. Yeah.
So the first song I'm going to play here is B, first track. And what I like about that track is that it's got that really, like, simple Moog, like, tone generator kind of sound,
yeah.
along with that simple bass line. I like it. I thought it was a cool way to start that. And it kind of just leads in from there. I'm going to play a bunch of clips because I'm just going to stack them, because I think that the music speaks more than anything else. And I listened to it again today in depth and kind of found some hidden gems and really like the sound.
Services, murderers, they ride serving burgers, it's cats with gold permanents, move they bags, it's herbalist, the dirt isn't just fertilist, people working and earning, it's the curb getter, throw where the cats flow and the current is. It's
so what I really like about that track is not only the flow, but also the background noise is in a loop. So it adds so much texture, and I think that's really interesting. I think rap needs to do more of that. So the whoever's putting the beats together, I don't know who's doing that. I probably should check that.
Did you say it was produced by Kanye?
Was it?
Yeah, that's why it was interesting that you guys brought that up.
He appeared on a couple of the.
Kanye. Well, it was produced by Kanye.
It was killer. Both of them at the same concert. They both played separately that day.
Wait, what track was that you just played?
Corner. And so this is Faithful. I love the chorus stuff. That's killer. And I think that it goes really well with the whole album. I guess you hear that stuff a little bit on rap, but I think it's cool because it's got a lot of different textures and everything, and I like it a lot. This is Chai City. Or Chai City. I don't know how you say it, you know?
To being free, I'm harder than the times. You hardly scary. Holding gaps inside you, cat is Holly Berry. They ask me where hip-hop is going. It's Chicago and poetry's in motion like a picture now showing. It's the city. The city, y'all. The city, The city, y'all. Come on.
What I really like about that track is the scratching. The whoever's doing that just... out of hand good. Love it. So it basically, it's got a bunch of different flavors going, and it just keeps moving all over the place. And I found myself liking this album more and more the more I listened to it. And they're kind of small, bite-sized pieces every track.
Break free and still get honored at home. I was told by a chief, it's the game's nature. When you're glowing, some are loving, some are hate you. It's real people.
With the sax.
Sounds kind of like Price is Right theme in the background.
I love it. I love it. And I think that it, like, it's silly at sometimes, but also I think he's trying to say some interesting stuff and doing it. It doesn't feel as like brag rappy or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of poignant. And
famous stardom, I'm somewhere in between the church and the sane asylum. I guess it's messing with my health then, and it's verse so crazy. When I finish, I'm just gonna check myself in again.
They say what's happening, we say the facts, they lie. We coming back for them, they might say, but they...
I love the piano and stuff too, and he's you know, that the lines that he's got in that in particular part are really interesting. And then the album ends with this whole thing, which I thought was kind of cute, I guess, with all the kids saying, you know, what they want to be.
I like that too.
So that's that album. I gave it a 4 because I really enjoyed it tremendously, and I liked all the different aspects of it. So I figured I'd just highlight the music more than anything.
Nice. I gave it a 4 too. I just wish hip hop these days was like that. And maybe that's not fair of me to say, because I'm obviously not, like, I mean, I guess not obviously, but I'm not in super in tune with the latest and greatest from that world.
It is pretty obvious, Mike.
Well, thanks. I'll take that as a compliment. But you know, I was a high school teacher at one point, and the students would play. I would let them play music, and I was really turned off from the scene by all the overly auto-tuned shit that just, like, and everybody's a lil. That was another thing that I constantly harped on. why is everybody a fucking lil? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like,
what century
Lil
was
Kim,
this?
Like, why is everybody now a fucking lil, and everybody has to have auto-tune turned up to a fucking 11? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why can't it be as great as this? So for those reasons, I gave it a 4.
Cool.
Oh, you guys are trying to silence me.
No.
Oh, I saw that.
I think we were deciding who was going to go next, me or Jake, and we were both like, I was waiting for Ryan to say something.
Don't silence me.
Yeah. We're not silencing
silence,
you, Mike.
Silence.
No, we're speaking. I also gave it a 4. I just thought it was solid all the way through, like the production, and yeah, it's just really good. And it was surprisingly good, actually, because I really hadn't. I just kind of thought of Common more as an actor, and I knew that he was a performer, but I didn't think much about his music. And I was like, oh, I should go back and give it another listen. Sorry, I walked out on that concert.
Yeah, well, and then I was late in the game with Jay Dilla. I don't know how versed you are with his.
Not first
awesome creations. But yeah, like it's cool that a couple tracks were produced by him too, because yeah, he's very creative, very under appreciated, maybe not by people that know, but I don't know, so
underappreciated by me, that's for certain.
Yeah, Jay Dilla, super cool.
What do you think, Jake?
I gave this album a 3, but after listening to the way that you described it, Ryan, I think you did a really, really, you almost sold me on a 4 now. You really broke it down in a way that I was like, yeah, I was kind of nodding along with you. Like, you know what? He's right. Man, it is textured. Like, I don't even really know what that means, but I can agree to it. And man, you're right about the flow. Like, man, I like it, the samples you chose, I think, were spot on. the way you described the album was spot on.
So you give his review 5 stars.
I caught on to that as it was coming out of my mouth. So anyway, I'm going to stick with the 3 and hold my ground, but I will give Ryan a round of applause for all of his efforts and for the way that you were able to break this album down. Great job, Ryan.
Well, thanks. You should listen to the album again, too, because you might actually...
I think I will.
Like it.
Yeah.
You might go to 3.5 or something.
Yeah. What I've been doing a lot. It actually dawned on me today as I was kind of thinking about this musical journey thing. It gives you an opportunity to... You remember back in the day, you'd buy a CD and you spent $15 on the goddamn thing and you had to try to burn it in and like it, you know, give mm-hmm. it a chance, you know. Yeah. You put your hard-ass earned money into this thing, you needed to kind of run it in a little bit, you know, give it a chance to break in. Yeah. And I was thinking of with Blur, that same kind of thing, like, damn, I listened to that album again today. And it just is so much better the second or third time.
So I had mm-hmm. the same experience. Yeah, well, especially when Chuck says you're not going to like it, you really have to try to like it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and having all the critics that say that, too. Or, you know, you pick something and everyone's like, oh, you garbage? Good work, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But what I was thinking about is, you know, that is something that we grew up with and we have kind of instilled in our process that may be part of our genome in this whole thing that allows us to really appreciate these albums more and go down this journey with a little bit more vigor. And I've been doing the thing where I listen to the album multiple times, especially if I'm reviewing it, I'll listen to it then again to go through it really on point. And it really makes a big difference to do that. And you start to really pick a lot of things out of it. So anyways, I think there's a really big benefit in listening to the album multiple times.
Absolutely.
For sure. Not passively listening. Like mm-hmm.
I heard you.
Well, no, but it's not a criticism at all. I think it's just something that you did the same thing, I'm sure, back in the day. When you had a CD, yes. You had to, you know, give it a chance.
Yeah. For you young kids, we had, like, you know, books of CDs mm-hmm. that we flip through and be like, all right, what am I going to put on tonight when I'm stocking yeah. shelves in the grocery store? It's like...
I used to carry them all with me when yeah. I was flying. Like, these big books, they thought I was a terrorist. They're like, yeah. Nobody brings that many CDs. They pulled me aside and checked me.
I think people still think that about you.
They thought yeah, that a lot about
fit
me.
The part.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you saying that, Ryan, because it's words. I just, that's why I love this whole project. Honestly. And it's just like, I hope that if anything, you know, our million plus listeners will just kind of get the same experience that we are, or it's just like you don't pick it. But yeah, like there's just endless possibilities. I actually like the fact that there's not albums on the weekend because it helps you either A, catch up
or listen again.
Or maybe listen mm-hmm. in a different context when you're not working or whatever your normal thing is. So anyway.
Yes. Sorry. Agreed.
All right. On to the next. This is going to be covered by The Group. It's another Stephen Stills album.
Badasses.
I can't get enough of Stephen Stills' voice, but this was, you know, kind of a break.
I'm going to say that Jake picked that one.
I did.
That was good.
I can't really stand that song.
Oh, really?
God.
I was like, okay, like I was regretting what I just said about it being a break from stuff. Like, but that also could be any Stephen Stills song. Like, it, honestly, like that sounded like so many other Stephen Stills
right.
songs. Right.
Well, the thing is, coming into this album, when I first was listening, I just first listened to the first few tracks, and I was just like, oh, God, this is what, why? And then as the album progressed, I was like, oh, there actually is some good stuff on here, you know? And each side of the album, when it was released as an LP, had a different theme and a different name to it. Like the first one, the side one was The Raven, and that was more rock with some Latin influence. Mm-hmm. And side two was The Wilderness, which, you know, that's when it starts out with that bluegrassy kind of song mm-hmm. that Jake really likes.
Fallen Eagle, the worst song on the album.
Play it.
Let's just play it. Yeah, when that clicked on, I was like, oh, now for something completely different. Where's this coming from?
I am a sucker for some fiddle.
But why do you hate that, Jake?
Well, it's twofold if you want to know.
Yes,
number one.
Give me the first fold.
Number one, the first fold is...
Just go ahead and stretch that first fold out.
It's Ben's fold five, and that takes it to a whole other level. This is, I couldn't really tell if this was a, you know, a rock album, if this was a bluegrass, if this was country. Mm-hmm. Which was irritating me, and after Jordan explained it, it makes sense. Like, it's supposed to be that way.
How many albums was it?
It doesn't have to be one thing. It's two discs, and and each side of the disc was kind of a different theme.
Well, so five?
So, well, five if you kept the whole package.
I'm not a fan of country really in general, but especially the really heavy... That fiddle type, it was just like nails on the chalkboard. But then I think I listened to that song twice because I was so irritated with it. Huh. And I couldn't figure out the lyrics. Like, I was trying to understand, what are they saying? And then it started to dawn on me, they're knocking America. They are bashing the U.S.
What? Hippies were bashing America?
No.
Fallen
Eagle.
Imagine that.
It ain't so.
Oh. It's so.
They're Canadians, eh?
I know. And then they even talk about how this country's going down and we've got to give up on it.
These days they'll get you fired. You know?
Yeah. don't well, tweet about
just
it.
Just move to Canada.
USA, no, am I right?
They won't let you in. They'll take it.
They won't let you in.
Yeah, you can get a visa or something, you know.
They won't let you
in. Hey, just be a teacher. They need them.
Well, and they need healthcare workers.
Healthcare workers, there you go.
They have healthcare.
Yeah, they actually provide that, funny enough.
Taking it back to Stephen Stills.
Anyway, yeah. Got a little thing.
Keep on singing the blue, little blue. Stay here in Johnny's garden.
That's a good song. It's about the caretaker of Stephen Stills' English estate. You know, he's an everyman. Right in the song about the caretaker of his English estate.
It sounds
like we all
good,
have.
Yeah.
Again, same thing. I listened to the lyrics of Johnny's Garden. It was like starred, you know, on my songs, right? So it looked like, okay, well, maybe this is a hit.
Speaking of star, he bought his English estate from Ringo Starr. Coincidence.
No,
there you go, Mike, right
Whoa.
There. That's one of those. Huh?
Oh, my God. What
wow. Unbelievable.
And you starred that one.
Wow.
Well, back to Johnny's Garden. So, I don't understand why he wants to stay in Johnny's Garden so much. Is Johnny's Garden a euphemism? Are we
no,
talking about
No, it's literally
something?
His garden, and it was named for the guy who takes care of the garden.
All right.
And he
I
likes
don't
his
think
garden.
It was all that deep.
No, it's pretty straightforward.
I retract. I still don't like it, but I retract the gay sentiment.
Wait, where was your other fold, by the way?
Yeah, right.
You did. Oh, the other fold was they're bashing America. And I hate country. Two folds.
Oh, right. So that was more right. A new fold. Yeah. It was an inward fold.
Yeah. The reverse origami. Mm.
I hate when the folds overlap.
Oh, boy.
Get all caught up in
it. Sorry to hit you with all this alternative kindness, Jake.
Yeah, it's alternative
for sure. I mean,
well, Jesus gave his love away for free. How's that song sound?
Well, yeah, let's hear that.
I really like this song, actually.
I like the top.
Oh, pedal steel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love pedal steel.
Now, do you think this was like an advertisement for, you know, free love? Like, Jesus also got around. So give it up,
wow, lady.
Well, I don't think, you know, sure that depends on how you interpret the word love. There's a pretty broad interpretation of what love could mean, Mike. But
sure.
I see where you went with
just
it.
Just like Eskimos have
cool.
A lot of words
Realm
for snow, but I mean...
No, there's one word that has a lot of meanings.
Interesting.
Not a lot of words that have one meaning.
I guess that's opposite.
Yeah, kind
My
of.
My bad. I came late, sorry. Anyway, so no, it's not about free love.
We lost Jake on this one.
Jake,
he's giving.
Jake, I'm there.
He doesn't find any of it funny.
Fucking America.
Funny.
Still pissed off about that.
We need all voices here. Yes, though.
Right.
It's important. Anyway, look, what did you guys rate it?
Well, I want to start. It got better than I thought. When I first was listening, I was just like, God. But then I really actually like side two and side three. And side one, I do like the very last track, Both of Us. It was co-written by Chris Hillman of The Birds and Flying Burrito Brothers. So he brought in some like legit country rock, you know, legacy to this album. But like, honestly, the first side and last side are just like, ugh. Like, it's the type of Stephen Stills I can't stand.
And so your rating is?
Oh, I'm getting to it. No. Oh, I got to tell you the full thing, Jesus, full spiel.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jake. Can't throw me off that easily. I'm not going to Jake it. So.
That's awesome.
So far, so good.
The kindness is thrown through.
Mm-hmm. But I honestly don't even know why this album is on the list. I'm just going to be frank. And, you know, because if you need some Stephen Stills, we'll just go with the Stephen Stills that they already gave us. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Go with the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Go with the Buffalo Springfield. They got it covered. If you want the Chris Hillman and the country rock, go with the Birds. They got the Birds and the Flying Burrito Brothers on this list. Go with those things. We don't need this. This is just superfluous.
And the rating was?
It's superfluous. Mm-hmm.
Superfluous. God, I can't say it right now.
Super.
That should be the name of this one.
Superfluous.
Superfluous.
I'm going to put it in quotes.
Superfluous.
Super.
I teach English.
I gave it a 2.
I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 2.
Well, everyone gave it a 3 according to the website.
Oh, I mean, I gave it a 3.
So I thought we were allowed to change
it. You can change it, of course.
Definitely change it. But I
went down to a 2 just based on what Jordan said. I was ready to give it a 3, but I've also given a lot of high scores this week. And I think you're right, Jordan. Like,
you know what? You convinced me. I'm going down to 2.
Yeah, whoa!
I think it's worth 2. Like I told you guys before, I always started at 3, and then I get swayed one way or the other. And then after your speech, Jordan, I'm down to a 2.
Well, if you guys are going to a 2, I'm going to a 1.
Wow, is it really that bad?
To keep things fair.
Oh, come on.
That second fault got you.
Like, construction
it's
noise.
Good thing big
construction noise.
Come on. All right. Well,
where are you, Ryan?
Ryan, I was at 3, but you know, I'm still going to stay with 3.
Good for you. Get to your guns.
Gives him an average of 2 now.
I liked it enough, and I like the Canadians, even though they're bagging on us.
Yeah, I mean, I like the variety. I like the themes. I mean, I could be convinced to go up 2.5, but I'm not. I'm going to stay at a 2. All right, last but not least, we have the Friday special.
Wait, who's the Canadian? Sorry.
What's that?
Neil Young's Canadian, but Stephen Stills isn't. Are you just calling him Canadian because they don't like America?
I thought there was some Canadian. Oh, maybe I'm screwed. Well, no.
Fact check.
There's probably a Canadian in there. Anyway, moving on.
Was that what we were doing last week? Fact check.
Fun fact.
All right.
Well, now it's turned to fact check.
Fact check.
I like that better. All right. Last but not least, Janelle Monáe. Am I saying that right?
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. Arc Android. Really coming out of left field, I thought. I'd never heard of this person. But I'm really surprised. Let's hear about it.
And I went with this album because my wife really liked it. And we used to listen to it. We lived in a tiny little studio apartment in Korea. And there's this little tiny, tiny galley kitchen. And she would play that while she was cooking. So it was kind of in the background. But I hadn't really listened to it since then. But it's kind of got that old memory for us. So went with that. And yeah, it's an interesting album. This is the first time I've like really listened to it and paid attention to it in whole. And it was sort of this epic that was based off of the Fritz Lang movie Metropolis from 1927.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so I guess like the story, it's a story told in two suites, but this is like part 2 and 3 because she had an EP that came out before that. I think it was called Metropolis Suite, The Chase. Yeah, just verify that it was called that. So that came out first in 2007. And so that was the first part. And this was, I guess, finishing up that whole saga. And so it's really wide ranging in its styles, you know, from really kind of trippy, psychedelic, some hip hop, and to like straight kind of cinematic score, pseudo jazziness. Yeah. You know, it's covers. It's all over the map. And so that's another thing that's really interesting about it, and had some, you know, diverse collaborators too, you know, Big Boy and then the Band of Montreal, which is kind of out of left field. Yeah, because they're like this indie, you know, band, maybe from Montreal. I don't know. Now, I had some other albums back in the download, you know, iTunes days, but I haven't listened to them in a while, but I used to really like Of Montreal. So the first one I went with was Tightrope, and this was one that was featuring Big Boy from Outkast.
Gotta keep your balance or you fall into the gap. It's a challenge, but I manage because I'm cautious with the strap. Do damage to your cabbage that I thought that cannot pass. See why you don't want no reason like the back of a match.
Yeah, I just thought it was really funky. Boy, love Big Boy, you know, and so just nice. What did you folks think of this one?
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah, it was groovy.
Yeah, I found myself listening to it a couple times. Just
yeah.
Because, yeah, like it's pretty unique. Mm-hmm. It's a cool variety, but yeah, this track in particular.
Yeah. I guess this was a single that was kind of like put her on the map. And then, yeah, the next collaboration we got on that I've chosen was Make the Bus. This is the one with Of Montreal. So let's go ahead and put that on here. Sort of psychedelic, very different from the last track. Can't get it off my mind. Yeah, so it's much more surreal, like psychedelic pop. And doesn't even sound like it would necessarily be from the same album, but
yeah,
when you listen to the album, everything just flows together kind of very organically, going back to one of our keywords, organic.
That was Cold War?
What's that?
Which track was that?
That was, Make the Bus. Okay. Yeah. And, I'm jaking it.
Good Lord.
That was alternative kindness in action.
Heavier than the alternative.
Yeah. But one of the interesting things about a lot of these songs too is they sort of have like these intros and outros, so each song almost feels like it's a little mini suite in its own right. And going on to the next one, we have Wonderland. It's kind of a dreamy sort of synth. And again, it's just a very different sound. So each of these tracks is, you know, very distinct, but it all just flows so well together on this album. And because I can't say that I was in love with every single track, but the highs are pretty high for me on this album. The next one is 57821. I have two parts for this because they show different. So let's get the first section. Just love that kind of haunting acoustic sound, you know, and then
almost deep like cotton.
Yeah. Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, sort of Simon and Garfunkel, like Parsley Sage, Rosemary and Thyme-ish, kind of old, you know, old-timey, sort of Renaissance-y, whatever. And then...
Who's Deep Cotton?
I don't know.
Is that
I did not look up Deep Cotton. Okay. And let's go to the last part here. We have the track from 150. See, I just couldn't pick which part of that was more beautiful, so I went with both sections here.
Which track was this?
That was 57821.
Is that a zip code?
You know, I got to look up. It was Lovers Who Reunite Across Time, showing that love it goes beyond death. I think that was maybe that's supposed to be the year. I have to look that up. Sorry, I did not fact check everything. But
well, that makes sense. The year, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
That was also 57821?
Yeah, that was the...
With Deep Cotton?
Yeah.
That was, toward the end of 578, or middle-ish.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a different portion of the song.
Or was that the one with Lil Cotton?
Lil Cotton.
Lil Cotton.
Fuck Lil Cotton. Yeah. I don't like it anymore.
See, right.
Yeah.
The rappers do need to bring in Deep, though.
Deep Cotton.
Yeah, deep is the instead of little.
Yeah, why not?
We can form our own band, call it Deep State.
Deep Kim.
Honestly, if somebody could just write me and explain why Lil was so popular, like, I would. It bothers me way too much.
You had some bigs, and we had to go to Lil, and you know, so.
Big Boy.
Yeah.
We had the Ice Biggie Phase.
Biggie Smalls. Yeah, the Ice Phase.
I mean, how many Lils
would you guess anymore,
there are? There's like literally over 100 Lils. It's fucking crazy, dude.
It's a gaggle of Lils.
No, it's like, come on. Anyway, sorry.
Listen, moving on to our last track, we have Say You'll Go. Anytime now.
We'll have Rock Mountain.
There we go. Ish.
Say you'll go.
A slight easy listening flow to it, but mm-hmm. it's bringing me in. It's like like a good Sade song or something. We'll do that to you.
You it's know? Got some like classical samples.
I like Sade.
Yeah, Sade is quite good.
Saxophone.
But yeah, on the whole, it, you know, like the last track in the album, I remember that one being kind of moving from sort of jazzy to very cinematic, and so it was just a very very sprawling and ambitious album, and has lots of really, really great moments. And, you know, I really like this one, and I'd give it a 4. How about you, Mike? What do you go with on this one?
4 for sure. Just again, kind of completely, something completely different, and just even completely different within the album.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It kind of caught me off guard a little bit. It was kind of came out of left field, like you said earlier. But not anything I'd go back to, I don't think. The first time through passively was enough for me, I'm going to say. Solid 3.
Yeah, that's still decent for you.
That is.
Yeah. That's okay. And last but not least, we got Ryan.
Yeah, you know what? I gave it a 3 because it did jump a little too much around, but I need to listen to it more for certain. I did do 2 listens, but I just never got into the loop. Now, the thing is, Metropolis, now that you mentioned that, I'm going to go in with listening to that again. I'm going to actually go this whole week over again tomorrow. I'll have the time. And
I wonder if it could be like, you know, like, was it Dark Side? The Wall with Wizard of Oz, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I wonder if you could watch Metropolis with this. I wonder if that would flow together.
Metropolis we had on beta growing up, and it scared the shit out of me.
Well, yeah.
I remember that being a scary movie, and it's still the imagery in that is so wild. I love that movie. Yeah, so.
Well, that was back in the days when people were frightened of pictures that moved. Yeah, I understand that.
I also screamed everyone out of E.T. too.
Well, listen, with enough help, any music can go with any film.
That's so right. As you've proven, Mike, with your edits.
Trust me. It can be a spiritual experience, though, so it's worth a try. I was late. We're late. Everything's late. But you know, Jordan,
this is a short episode. What are you talking about?
Tally it up.
Yeah. All right. Sure. So you know, not to keep the audience waiting here. in last place, we have Stephen Stills Manassas with a score of 2. Coming in 4th, we got Janelle Monae with Arc Android with 3.5. Next, 3rd place, Common, B, 3.75. 2nd place, Miles Davis in a Silent Way. He got 4.75 stars. And Fela Kuti with Ginger Breaker Live got 5. I believe that's the second time we've given an album consensus score of 5, along with The Wall. So,
well deserved.
Yeah, it was an awesome album. And a good week overall, I'd have to say.
100%. Very good.
100%.
Yep. Yeah, sure was.
I'm looking forward to more, though. Gentlemen, as always, just a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
You know, again, a way that you can connect with others, a way that you can kind of deepen your experience with music. So we don't want to hear about it. Please don't review us.
No.
Please don't like and subscribe.
Don't even listen to it.
No, like if you just immediately turn us off, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Just a general.
Maybe you should just start with that, so. Mike. Yeah, just start with like as soon as like it's before the intro, just go, just turn this off now.
Yeah, it's just Jake.
For your sake and everyone else's.
Yeah, we don't want the pressure because this is for us, not for you.
Yeah.
Super superfluous.
You know, and that is alternative kindness going up to
our
millions of listeners. So We hate you. This has been 1001, an album odyssey. Don't come back next week. Have a terrible week.